again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Each episode, we cover an aspect of sex that impacts your sex life and something that you can relate to. So if you find our discussions helpful, please give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. We would love it if you would tell a friend about us. You can find us also on the web at foreplayrst.com. And if you have a comment or a topic that you'd like us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. Please send them to us at info@foreplayrst.com. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic. Okay, today's episode, we are going to talk about anal sex.
Really? Lori, are we going to have this conversation?
We are going to have this conversation, Adam.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to get it out of the way. I'm a little uncomfortable having this conversation, but I will follow you into this minefield and all the emails that we are going to get.
Right.
But we've already gotten emails.
We get emails about anal sex.
We just get asked all the time,
yeah.
Right?
So we thought we really need to address it. And I mean,
or get it out of the way.
So to speak. Or partly, I mean, I think there's a lot of people who are listening and are like, why is everybody talking about anal sex these days? I mean, because it's a huge topic. You see all kinds of articles on it. I mean, it's everywhere. So why is it different now than, you know, 25 years ago? Nobody talked about anal sex 25 years ago. No.
I mean, this may be an unpopular opinion, but okay. I think it's because of porn.
Yeah.
I think porn has introduced the idea of anal sex into our culture in a way that men have really latched onto.
Yeah.
Right?
I think you're right. I mean, that's not just your thinking. That is what has happened.
Yeah.
I mean, the porn industry has basically shows anal sex as part of an integrated part of a heterosexual experience. It used to be, you know, homosexual porn showed that, but heterosexual porn did not. And now it does. Almost every single porn film introduces anal sex as part of the whole routine.
Yeah, and it's also showing women enjoying anal sex, right?
Right.
In a way that,
right.
I mean, in a way that any man would want their partner to respond to sex.
And right? Crazily, it's showing women having orgasms with anal sex.
Right.
Which, and, by the way, doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's some myths around that. I mean, in your blog post, you talk about that. I mean, tell what are the stats that are about anal sex?
So really, only about 2% of women actually enjoy anal sex. And there are some women out there who do, and a lot more women enjoy anal touching because there is erotic nerve endings around her anus that she might enjoy being touched there. But that doesn't mean she wants anal sex. Only about 2% really enjoy it, although maybe about 30%+ have tried it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of men tell me, you know, and I hear this all the time from men, well, she just doesn't like it because she hasn't tried it. Mm. I got to tell you guys, she knows if she wants to try it. And she really knows if she doesn't want to try it.
Yeah. What you're saying is it's not a rejection of the man or a rejection of him. It's just, it's a preference, right? And it's one that I think
it's a preference. And if they've seen porn, they've been led to believe that it's her preference and it's so hot for her.
Yeah.
You know, and she really needs
the men.
Yeah. The men think it's so hot for her and that she just needs to, you know, expand her boundaries. And then she would really know about this great thing because he's seen all the stuff on porn that says she really, really likes it. And those are actresses.
Yes.
By the way,
not real people.
They are actresses.
Yeah. It's dangerous when we base what we think sex is supposed to be like on porn. I think it's something that I think we all can agree with. Like even men that are involved in porn, I think could agree with that statement with their head. But it just creeps in and slowly like we begin to believe that that is what is supposed to be in a healthy sexual relationship. So we impose that expectation on our partner and it's just really dangerous and really faulty.
To impose the expectation. We're not saying anal sex is dangerous and faulty.
Right.
I mean, we know some people really like it. Some people really think it adds to them, and that's fine. And we would like to maybe help you. Let's say you do have a partner who wants to receive anal sex. First of all, it's not a night event. It's not a one-night thing. It's like several months before a woman could receive that comfortably. So yeah. You have to really, I'm going to say some really specific things here, but you have to work with her sphincter to get her to relax. And that takes months of introduction to this. What you see in the movies or in the porn films is a total lie. It just doesn't happen in one night.
Right away. So it's a slow introduction. So if it is something that she would like and something that she thinks she would enjoy, it has to be done slowly and over time.
Right. And I think the reality is the woman's rectum has a crook in it. Mm-hmm. So it's a little turn. And that's part of what makes it really painful for her, let alone the stretch. It's the little crook. And men do not have that. That's partly why. And men in homosexual sex have a prostate gland, and that's partly why it's enjoyable. It's straight. They have a prostate gland that does actually produce orgasms when it's stimulated. So we're talking about two wildly different things.
Yeah.
And I know men who are listening who are straight, some of them are like, you didn't need to tell us that part. But you know,
well, I think
that
it's important
to
know because it's not, right. not it's not,
it's not analogous.
Yeah.
You know, what a man feels and what a woman feels is not analogous. It's something totally different. So, okay, so if you want it. And the other thing in porn is that these women are set up well. So oftentimes they have had an enema so that there's no fecal matter that's going to show. And real women, you know, often don't have enemas before they have sex.
So what you're saying is it can be a messy experience.
Yes, it can be very messy.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, be prepared for that and make sure she's prepared for that. And also make sure anything that touches the anus, anything that goes in the anus never goes in the vagina and basically is washed off before it touches any other part of her vulva because you're going to cross-contaminate with bacteria. So that is dirty.
Yeah.
That is something that really needs to be addressed. You know, any kind of sex toy that's touching both places, it can only go one direction.
Yeah.
You know, it can't ever come back into the vagina or near the urethra, which is how women get bladder infections, you know, with cross-contamination.
There's a lot of thought that needs to go into that. And I think that's what we're saying is one of the major differences in what porn shows and what happens in real life is that you have to have conversation about this. It has to be intentional. It's not something
you have
to just jump into.
Permission.
You have to have permission.
You absolutely have to have permission. This is not a slip up.
Yeah,
like, oops, wrong place.
Yeah.
That can never happen.
Yeah.
You know, because women would feel so violated. And I have talked to women whose husbands or boyfriends or whoever have done the oops thing, you know, and I mean, that is tantamount to rape, really, you know.
Well, and even bringing it up after you've initiated sex, right? That's not the time to bring it up.
No.
Right? You need to, this is something that you need to bring up beforehand. Y'all need to have long conversations about it, talk about what it means, what you
especially
have to do.
Unless you're both totally agreed.
Right.
And even if you're totally agreed, you need to recognize the difference between what you might have seen somewhere or what you imagine it's going to be like and what it's like in real life. Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's that. Yeah.
Go ahead. Spit it out. Anal sex.
I've said it several times, haven't I? Haven't I said it?
I don't know. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I don't know now. I think it seems like one of those things that needs, you know, when you said both partners agree, even in that, I think that there's conversations to have, even when both of you agree, because of all the things you just talk about, the time that's required, the thought that needs to be put into it to be clean and be safe.
Right. And more than likely, it's a conversation with one person, you know, the man often wanting to try it and the woman not because of her fear. And I think we should, you know, talk about why do men want to try this? Like, what's so exciting? Okay, first of all, they see it on porn. We know that. And they see women really enjoying it and they think it's variety, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, it's a misplaced sense of what is going to bring pleasure, right? Mm-hmm. But there's also a sense that it is taboo, right? I mean, there is still a taboo nature, even if it's made its way more into mainstream porn, if you want to say that. But there is an element of it that is, you're not supposed to talk about it, right?
You're not supposed to talk about that.
Witness my whole demeanor in this conversation today, you know, like, and so there is something that's attractive about something that is
anything
taboo
that's a little illicit, that's a little taboo or forbidden. I mean, that heightens our excitement about it, right? We're getting away with something, we're doing something that's naughty, we're doing something that I think that there's that childlike part of us that says, ooh, you know, something is off limits about that, and I'm sneaking into it. And so there's kind of heightened adrenaline, and there's and that often brings excitement. Yeah, the taboo is just woohoo.
Yeah, the idea too that it is going to be more pleasurable than vaginal intercourse.
Yeah, I think for men, right? There's a
that,
sense.
There's that. Is that a fantasy? Is that reality?
I would say men often tell me they want to do it because they think it'll be tighter than the vagina.
Yeah.
And so that they will experience more pleasure. Well, I'm not a guy, so on this one, nobody has really said to me yet, yeah, it's way more pleasurable for me as a man to do anal sex than vaginal sex. I've never heard that.
You never heard that? I haven't either, so. Mm-hmm.
I think the thrill is the taboo.
And
the sense that she's letting him go everywhere.
I'm inclined to say that that's a fantasy. Mm-hmm. That it's something, again, that can stem from porn, that it's going to be more pleasurable. Is that, I mean, I think possibly there's the idea that it might take your sex life to another level, right? That there's this level of of where you have reached, you know, that you've reached with that.
Okay, we got to come right back because Adam's just like busting up here. You're listening to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy with sex therapist Lori Watson and couples therapist Dr. Adam Matthews. We'll be right back talking more about anal sex.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido, from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Weekend couples intensives are also offered. Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
It is one of my great joys in life to be able to really help individuals and couples find strength in their relationships and really find hope again.
Licensed marriage and family therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews from Matthews Counseling.
I work with a wide variety of issues, including depression and anxiety, marital issues, issues with adolescence. I believe that therapy should be designed around you, that it should be personalized to who you are and to your unique situation.
Therapy is available in office, online, and by phone.
I want therapy to be comfortable for everyone. At our office, you'll find that we sit around a fireplace in deep, comfortable chairs, look at the problem differently, and offer practical solutions for you to take home and utilize outside of the therapy room.
Schedule today and rediscover hope.
You can find me on the web at matthewscounseling.net, Matthews with one T. You can contact us through email or phone and find a lot of resources on our website, matthewscounseling.net.
Okay, so we are back with Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. Today we're talking about anal sex.
Right.
And Adam is enjoying our episode.
Yes. Immensely. Yes, this is not stretching me at all.
So to speak.
Yeah, so to speak.
Yeah, we're really not talking about anal sex for men.
Right.
That's, like, and we are not,
right,
going,
not
to.
Going to.
We are not going to.
Okay, so... This has never happened to us, by the way. This is like we have not devolved this much on it or regressed this much on any other topic.
Right.
But this one, but it's just so many people.
It's uncomfortable. It's even uncomfortable for you to talk about.
And so many people have asked about it. You know, I feel like it does feel like it needs to be addressed because so many people have asked about it.
Right.
And I think it is a
whole book's written about that too.
And it's a conversation that tends to happen behind closed doors, right, with couples, if at all. If they have the conversation at all, they generally don't talk about it with their friends. So, I mean, we're going. We're making it happen.
We support the people out there who want it. and enjoy it, and that's, you know, fabulous. We don't think that there's anything wrong with it.
Right.
But we probably deal with, as sex therapists and couples therapists, and maybe our own inhibition, you know, about people who have more resistance to it. And that's kind of where we want to help you go. Like, let's say one of you really wants to try it.
Yeah, and the other one,
is like, no. Not interested in trying it.
Yeah. How do you begin to navigate that difference? Because that's, I think, one of the things that why it comes up in couples therapy and sex therapy so much is because it's such a big split, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's even more of a split between that and if one member wants oral sex and the other doesn't want to give it, right? I mean,
yeah.
it's more of a, it seems to be more, people dig
it's
their heels in.
It's a wider difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I know I had a friend whose partner always wanted to try it. And she was just like, no way, no how. This was somebody who, you know, when we were kids together, you know, you never walked in on her in the bathroom. And that door was locked, you know, and just the whole thing was a total no.
Yeah.
I mean, not going to do it. And I think it became like a point of contention. They had a really relatively great sex life. But he just was enamored with this idea, you know, just let's just try it. And he pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. And I thought, you know, you're ruining something. Because you have a great sex life. She was open. She was playful. She wanted sex. She liked sex. This was just an absolute no. And I think that before you have to have the discussions, or before you have the second discussion, let's say that, you know, if you really get from your partner, this is a clear off limits. I'm never going to want to do it. I mean, they do have a right to say no.
Yeah.
And I think hounding your partner about something that they've really said no about can be damaging to your sex life.
Yeah, I think you said something that's really key as well, is you said the second conversation. Like, I think if you are not having a conversation about the other aspects of sex, like to jump into the anal sex request is a little, you're just skipping a bunch of steps.
Yes.
Right? If you're not talking about the other things that your partner wants, if you're not talking about other things that you need beside other requests that you have, if that's not already there for you as a couple, it's going to be a more automatic no. Like, your partner's not even going to consider it if this is the request right out the gate, if you're not having conversation around other parts of your sex life.
And I think one thing that I hear from people is one person is pressing for more, intensity, more sex. And sometimes that person is not sort of sensitive to the fact that every conversation turns into, but I want more of something else. You know, it's like they don't have conversations where they decide things, where they feel settled on things, where there's an exchange of feelings without that person pressuring to go to the next level.
Yeah, it's always
it may be anal sex. It may be something, you know, wild and crazy, whatever. But they're always pushing. And that's the other partner, who's usually the sexually avoidant partner or the distancer, just often feels like it's never enough for that person. You know, they're never satisfied. So certainly if you are the sexual pursuer, you want to convey, you know, this was a great time. And then zip it. You know, you want to say this was good. And make sure you catch the moments that are great and your partner knows your satisfaction.
Yeah, I think if you're saying that anal sex is the only way you're going to be satisfied with sex, then everything else is just a satisfaction and disappointment. Right?
If it's always this disappointment, we didn't do it. And, you know, you think couples do it routinely. For the record, couples don't do this routinely.
Yeah,
they really don't. That's fantasy and that's a porn manufactured idea. You know, you're going to be disappointed if, you know, this is sort of nirvana.
It's a tough conversation to have, but if there's enjoyment in other areas of your sex life, it seems like this should be an addition, not something that's going to bring your sex life to completion or take it to another level or be the thing that's going to actually make it enjoyable. I think those things sound dangerous to me.
It might be. Those ideas sound dangerous.
Yeah,
I think
that's
it might be. I mean, for some people, they want to try it once and they go, woohoo, we did it. And, you know, then they decide about it. And if you, I mean, how would you begin that conversation if, let's say, you were the partner who wanted it and your partner didn't want that?
I think one of the things that I think men need to be honest with themselves about, and we've been talking about it a little bit, is if this is a porn fantasy for them, or if it's something that they really want in their sexual relationship. Mm-hmm. If they are starting from the basis, and they've got to be honest about the influence that porn has had, if it's coming from that place, it's going to be really hard for it to be what they're envisioning, and it seems like they're going to be dissatisfied. That's true of sex in general, right?
I think one of the problems with porn is, right, we are seeing things that are unrealistic, and there is creating sort of an ideal that sex is always just like breathless and really, really passionate, and and people are always doing these crazy things, and they're switching positions, and they're, you know, I mean, a lot of people have a very satisfactory sex life. You know, the couple that we talked about last who had sex every day, they were actually not swinging from the chandeliers.
Yeah.
You know, they were rolling over in bed in the morning and having sex.
Yeah.
You know, and that, you know, and there was something pleasant and lovely and intimate about that.
Mm.
But I think porn produces this ideal that is not attainable.
Yeah.
Not in an average life. And I have people who say, but I want our sex to be really passionate every single time. I'm like, okay, well, you know, I hate to break it to you, but most people have sex that is also ordinary.
Yeah. Well, you have to have that, right?
You have to have that.
To be able to have extraordinary sex, you have to have ordinary sex.
Right. But they feel so disappointed in it. It's like, well, I had an orgasm, but that wasn't really what I wanted. I wanted this adventure. And it's like, I'm support you. We support you. We're all about helping you, but not every single time. And I think that anal sex is probably a one-off experience.
Mm.
And so if you're talking to your partner, maybe you say, you know, I'd like to try it.
Yeah.
I'd like to try it once.
But you're
coming
from a place.
Resistance.
You're coming from a place of reality, not a place of myth and fantasy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And when you come from a place of reality, you know, what are some things that you can say? How do you lead into that conversation if it's grounded in a real place?
So definitely he needs to say, you know, this is something I'd like to try. How do you feel about it? And let's say she says, you know, I don't feel good about it. I don't want it. I mean, one thing she could say in order to not shut the conversation down completely is, can you tell me why you want it?
Yeah.
What do you imagine it would be like?
Yeah.
And
maybe
he also asks her, can you tell me why you don't want it?
Yeah.
What are the things that come up in your mind that would say, this is something I don't want? Can you tell me those feelings? And really be open to it. So it's not a, that's disgusting, I'm never going to do that kind of conversation.
You're not shutting your partner down. You're being curious. Both sides are being curious about each other. And that's just good communication skill anyway to have.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're curious about the other person's position, you're going to learn a lot more and you're going to get a lot further, right?
And tone is everything,
right?
I mean, you have to ask, can you tell me about your feelings against it and with an open heart?
Right.
You know, even though you might be very disappointed that your partner doesn't want to do it, an open heart says, I care about you. I care about your reasons. And if they say, you know, ooh, no, it's dirty. You know, you feed it back. You say, okay, it's dirty. You feel like it would literally be dirty. And maybe you feel like it would be
shameful,
morally dirty or some other kind of dirty that doesn't feel like you.
Right.
Can you tell me about those feelings? I mean, I think there's such a childhood taboo, right? We've been taught by our parents that area of the body is literally dirty. Don't touch there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we come into adulthood knowing that this is the area that, you know, dirty things come from. And so there is this childhood taboo about it. And working past that, you know, could be very difficult to introduce it into the sexual life.
Yeah, and I think if you get to a place where it's not a hard no, but it's a, I don't really think so. It's something that you can possibly continue to talk about. Like one of the things you could do is just to say, can we keep talking about this? Is
right.
it something that we can keep talking about, but not, we're not going to do it until both people agree. Yeah.
Don't keep at it like thinking you'll wear that person down.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
All your good sense about it and how it's really going to be great for them. Trust me, a woman has a right to say no in this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she really knows whether or not she's going to enjoy it. I mean, she has a deep sense about it. If she's open and she's more curious, great. But if she's shut down and says no, I mean, I just...
But men can ask the question in a good way.
Yeah.
Right? It's not something that you have to necessarily be fearful of or not be able to talk about, but you need to be able to ask in a good way and not make it a demand for your sex life.
Yeah, a curious way.
Yeah.
Okay, talking about anal sex.
All right, we're done. We did it. We got through it. If we can talk about it, you can talk about it.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy with sex therapist Lori Watson and couples therapist Dr. Adam Matthews. Thanks for listening. Hey, help us stay on top here at Foreplay. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take one sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.